we're quarantining for the safety of everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I think it's scary to think, like, I want to, you know, my thoughts might be, hey, I want to be the one to go grocery shopping tonight because I need a break. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have to weigh the risks of me being the primary caretaker, going to the grocery store, and then exposing I have a baby. Right. So I don't do those things.
Hey guys, good morning and welcome to this episode of In the Backseat. Before we get into our episode today, which is totally focused on motherhood during quarantine, as well as like we touch on social media and a couple other little things. But before we get into that, I just want to say I'm just excited that people are receptive to this whole podcasting thing. It's been really fun to talk to people. I've gotten text messages and DMs about this thing. And I, on the back end, have what's called like a hosting site, and I can see the downloads. And I mean, I'm like, it's just really cool. So I can see which episodes are getting downloaded mostly. And I'm telling you, therapy, guys, therapy is the best. If you can find some type of therapy, or again, you can find some friends to lean on right now, I think it's so important. Or if you have anything that you want to talk about, I talk to people for a living and I love it. It's usually in person and I love that even more than this, to be honest. But I have been just enjoying myself thoroughly speaking to so many of my friends, so many people, and people that I don't really know that well. I've lined up, like, I've been on calls for the last week and it's been so much fun for me. So if you find yourself listening to this, if you have anything to say, also, if you have something to say and you don't want a podcast to be like broadcasted, I actually can change your voice, which is like an option in case you want to come on and not have a voice. But there's nothing better than being, I believe, wide open and honest and authentic on the internet. I think that it makes for a very kind of peaceful internet experience. And that's why I really felt like I wanted to talk to Allison today. She is a young mom, and right now in quarantine, you guys are going through this together. I don't have this experience, and I don't have this kind of perspective. So I think it's important that you guys have somebody to talk to and have somebody to lean on. I know that young moms from different areas of my life have been listening to this, and I would love for you to follow Allison without a doubt. I think it's important, again, to have community right now during all of this. And it looks like we're in this for even longer than I keep thinking. It's like, I think it's going to end, and then it's like, no, it's going to continue. So forge those friendships and those communications on the internet. I think they'll be healthy and happy and like good for you. So we're going to jump right into the middle of our conversation with Allison right now.
I mean, I'm out of things to do with them at home. We color, we, you know, do all the things that you're supposed to do. And I really beat myself up over, like, do I let them watch a movie in the middle of the day? Do I let him have his tablet, you know, for a couple hours during the day when that's not our normal? And right. It's like, what else am I going to do right. with them?
Right.
We're out of things. You can only do, you know, their brains are so little in learning. And I just feel like so much pressure as a mom of, like, Indy is in this huge, I mean, she's learning how to talk. She's starting to potty train. Like, she's in this huge area. And
growth
she's
area.
Just, yeah, and it's like, is this hindering what she could be doing, what she could be learning, what she could be experiencing? Like, we don't get this time back. And I know it's hopefully short-lived, but it can be, you know, detrimental to the progress that they're making.
So are there resources, like, what do you do with those feelings? Like, you're always doing your best. I know that. And you're, like, you're doing your best in the moments, every moment that you can be doing your best, you are.
Right.
And so what do you do to help with those feelings? Has it been about finding a community of moms that you can talk to and share this information with and be amongst people that are in the same or similar scenarios? Or, you know, are you finding things on Pinterest? Are you, like, you know, like, what do you... I mean, you're discovering it as it goes, because this is all happening in real time.
Yeah, I mean, I do have, like, a community of moms that I talk to, and, like, some of them, we talk more about you know, the good stuff. But I do have a few good mom friends that I can go to and just say, like, I want to scream. Or I just walked away from Ryder because if I didn't, I felt like I was going to yell at him. Or, you know, even the scary, dark feelings that moms don't want to talk about. And sorry, I'm, like, getting choked up. Like, mothering in general, especially, I'm only 9 months postpartum with my third. Like, it can get really dark and scary thoughts that this is bringing out even more of, because you're like, wow, I want to get away from my kids and there's nowhere to go.
I've definitely seen a lot of posts about, like, postpartum and just the way you're, like, and everything is up and down and stuff. And again, I've never been through it. But I can imagine, just from my own experience with bouts of depression and what's that's done in my life without kids, and then adding a human life to it, I can't even really imagine.
I think that's the scary part about all this, is, like, it's all about keeping everybody healthy, right? Like, we're quarantining for basically the sake of everybody else, because we're both, you know, young, and we're less likely to get it and whatever. Like, we're quarantining for the safety of everybody else. So I think it's scary to think, like, I want to, you know, my thoughts might be, hey, I want to be the one to go grocery shopping tonight because I need a break. But at the same time, I have to weigh the risk of me being the primary caretaker, going to the grocery store, and then exposing I have a baby. So I don't do those things. So it's like, I've only been to the store twice since this has even happened, because I have to weigh that Tennille's the one that lays on my chest. Like, my chest needs to be clean and healthy. So it's hard to be the one that's also stuck with them when I want to be the one getting out.
And that's, like, you know, my thought with kids is, like, I feel like you don't know when you're going to be ready. Like, so you don't know. I think people try to over-prepare mentally for kids sometimes. Like, you know, that, like, let's get married, and then when we're ready, when we're financially ready, or when we're this, we'll have children. But I'm not sure that it's, like, you can check enough boxes to be prepared for your life to be given, essentially, majority of it to and for another person.
I don't think there's any checklist that would ever be accurate to say, like, okay, this person is now ready. Because everything happens in real time. Like, if I made a checklist before I had kids, would I have global pandemic on it? So I would never be ready.
What can you say to pregnant women right now?
I mean, my heart, like, hurts for them, seriously, because everything about labor, giving birth, and especially coming home after, I mean, the number one thing is support. You need support, you need community, you need people there. And social media, texting, FaceTime is not enough. So to know that, like, these moms are not going to have that, it hurts me for them. Our new next-door neighbors are due in the middle of May, and it's their first baby. They're the sweetest. And just to know that, like, I'm not going to be able to go over there with a meal and hold the baby while this poor new mom, like, takes a shower. It really, I feel for them, because I relied so heavily on, you know, having people around me. And you can't be around anybody. Like, I certainly don't envy them, but I also, I mean, my heart really, really hurts for them.
I think, like, I mean, I hope, one, I hope that obviously husbands are allowed in labor rooms at this point. And then I would assume, you know, what will need to happen for mothers right now that are, you know, giving birth soon is going to be the stepping up of really husbands and in those situations, or partners, whatever, in the situations that can pick up weight. And it's not going to be an easy feat, but you're not going to have groups of people coming to your house. And in a sense, too, with, like, you know how babies are obviously very, very fragile when they first come out, and, like, the whole vaccine situations, and you can't be around them. In a way, that's a small little gift that people won't be exposed to your child, I guess.
That's definitely the biggest positive of it, is that, like, as long as the mother is in a physical and mental good place, like this time with your baby, you're actually, you know, you're getting a kind of a gift, like you said. Like, but a lot of moms, you're not in that space and you're not able to see that right after. So like, in the long run, you'll probably be like, wow, I had these, like, these weeks to myself. But I think when you're in the throes of it, it's like the last thing on your mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that they can find, like, maybe even considering how they'll feel in the future as it happens. Like, if somebody's due next week and they're listening to this, it's like, try. I know you can't because your brain is probably on a different level of hormones, right, and different things, but if you can keep a nugget of the thought of that stillness and the gift of, you know, having this time, I don't even, again, I haven't been through it, so I'm like, I can't say it'll be there, but I always try to look glass half full. I think that motherhood is a really tough topic right now, or something like that is a tough topic, because there's no definite answers that's going to work for everybody or be like, you know, this overall is an okay situation. No, this is a very challenging thing that I don't, you know, I don't know.
I mean, I can't imagine, you know, anybody who found out they were pregnant before this. I can't imagine the mind shift that they've had to do. But, I mean, the good part of it is, like, social media also, it comes back to this, because a lot of people, you know, the big thing is you announce when you had your baby and people get so excited. So, like, relish in that, and also just think about all the social constructs that you don't have to deal with. Like, nobody is going to come visit you. So don't do your dishes. Just snuggle with your baby. Like, you know, you have that, like you said, the gift of people not coming can also be a gift. They don't need to worry about that beautiful vacuum and cleanup and people are coming over, like, let me cook or whatever. Just do nothing.
Yeah.
Just be with that baby.
And
because
when
nobody's anyway.
Yeah, and when you do nothing too, don't even have a second of like feeling bad about the dishes. Like, just don't, you know, don't let yourself get there, because it's just, yeah, enjoy it. Like, relish in what you do have going on.
And it'll make it so much more exciting when everybody does finally get, you know, to stampede you and meet this baby. They're going to have all of this build up. Sorry, my son went off. All of this build up to meet this baby.
Right. And I think, too, like, obviously you would love for people to be able to meet your child, but at the end of the day, if this was years ago before we had Zoom, before we had phones, people wouldn't even see your kid. Maybe they'd get a mail, you know, a letter with a photo.
Right.
So I have been leaning towards understanding the internet as an ultimate blessing and a gift that we get to use in the right way and use in an open way and use in a way that makes us feel good all the time versus the opposite. So I think that's a gift too for moms or new moms. And I know it's a gift for me. Seeing my nephews on FaceTime is the only way I get to see them. It's heartbreaking to go to their house and see them like through a window, you know?
So yeah, I mean, that's so sad. Like, I'm the one on the other end of it, so like, it's hard to put myself, like, Brandon's dad, he's seen him very few times just to work on house stuff, and like, his stepmom hasn't seen my kids, you know, in months.
Yeah.
So it's got to be super hard for the people who are missing my kids. But that also, you know, makes me, my mom heart, feel good, because I'm like, you know, I feel lucky that there's people that do miss my kids.
Yeah. I feel bad sometimes when I talk to Laura, because like, of course, I'm just so excited about my nephews all the time that it's like, I kind of overshadow my sister and Dave in a way. Like, I'm just like, where are my nephews? You know what I mean? And it's like, very obnoxious, and I need to work on it.
But it's sweet, and I'm sure there's a huge part of her that just feels thankful that you want to see them, because as a mom, like, you get sensitive that, you know, you want everybody to love your kids as much as you do, and some people don't. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Or they don't show it or whatever. So I think it feels, I personally think it feels so good when people show it.
Yeah, that's cool. Because they are an extension of you at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. And you feel so protective of them. I'm just like, I want everyone to love you. But I also want everybody to listen to all the parts about you that I don't love right now.
Yeah. Man, there's so many. It's such a deep, complex, like, thing, man. I truly think that motherhood and parenthood and raising a human being is probably, not probably, definitely the most challenging thing in the ways of, like, mental strain, if you will. Like, you know, like, I think a lot of people, from what I've seen on an outside way, is, like, questioning what, if you think you're doing things right, and questioning if you know, if you're messing your kid up, or how you're doing. And a common theme that a lot of my clients have said with parenthood, because I'll talk to people candidly, I'll just be like, how is it, like, to raise a kid, you know? And they're like, you just hope you're not messing them up, and you do the best you can at the end of the day.
For sure. I mean, when you sent over those questions, when you said, what advice would you give, like, that was the hardest one to sit there with, because it's so complex. And, like, right now my mind is going towards what's my advice during quarantine. But, like, really just advice overall, just how to raise kids. Like, what do you deal with, you know? And, like, the biggest thing is just there's no, like you were saying before, there's no right time. There's no checklist. Like, and there's no handbook on how to do it. Mm-hmm. Because you don't, you know, everybody's situation is so different. Like, when I've gone through so much since I've had Ryder, mm-hmm. and I've gone through things and dealt with things the right way, the wrong way, and I do sit back some nights and I get really upset, because I'm like, what is this going to do to him? What is he going to remember? Because I've spent a lot of his life sad, and it's like, what will that do to him? But then at the end of the day, like, he's still such a good kid, and, like, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't see all of that, all of the bad stuff that happens. Just like with this, he doesn't see it. Like, he listens to what Brandon and I say as Bible, because he trusts us so much. Like, mm-hmm. he's like, why do people have masks on? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's to keep everybody healthy. And to him, that's just an acceptable answer. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't see all of the scariness of life in general. Like, if I'm crying and he says, what's wrong? And I say, I'm just sad. Okay, well, don't be sad. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they don't get the weight of everything, because what you can do as a parent is protect them from that.
Yeah, and I imagine he reacts in those ways, ultimately, if you boil it down, because he feels and knows he's loved.
Right.
You know?
I mean, he has that security of, no matter what's going on, like, he comes home and he's at home with family that loves him. He has a roof over his head. We always have food. I mean, he has his basic needs met. So I need to remember that, like, everything else just comes along with it, because there's so many kids that don't even have those securities.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still come out on top and have a good life. So, like, as long as I can keep providing the basics for him, because that's what, listening to Emily's interview, I'm like, how do I teach him? Like, what's he going to fall behind on? But really, like she was saying, like, just love them. They're going to learn all those things, whether he learns, you know, how to spell his last name next month or in a year from now, he's going to learn it.
Yeah. You know, and, like, from a perspective of being somebody's child, right, I have always known at the end of the day that I was loved. I did not have a picture-perfect relationship with either of my parents through, like, teenagehood and all the things that I, you know, I wanted to rebel and do what I wanted to do, and that's inevitable. Like, your kids, they are an extension of you, but I came here to have my own journey. You came here to have your own journey. Your kids came here to have their own journey, and I think it's natural. I have one client who works with teenagers and with behavior issues, and she's like, it is a natural thing for teenagers to push boundaries and push buttons and see what they can get away with. And that, I think, is true for kids as well. It's just a different level, you know? So, like, at the end of the day, underneath all, I say that to say, I never questioned that I was loved and supported. And that was enough for me to evolve into a human being that literally, I have my parents tattooed on my arm.
Like, so do I.
That's awesome. I, like, owe them all because of that love and that, you know, the lessons that they taught me in being a good person and having a moral code and loving and, you know, all the other stuff is secondary. And I could rattle off, you know, my mom's probably laughing if she's listening to this, but I could rattle off the other stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, underlying.
I mean, that's all.
No, go.
That's all anybody wants. Like, if I, you know, 20 years from now was listening to Ryder's podcast, which right now the only topic it could possibly be about was dinosaurs, all I would want him to say is, like, he doesn't care about the other stuff. He just knew when he came home that he, you know, he was loved.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you can
hopefully provide them.
Yeah. And I like to put things in weird perspectives too. Like, we are living in 2020, and despite everything that's going on, it's just like, when think about people that lived like hunters and gatherers, right? And like moms that were protecting their kids from like the lions in the bush that type of fear. And at the end of the day, a mom holding her son in the middle of the night would have been the biggest sense of love that she had to give. And it's like, she had all this other stuff to worry about and all this other fear, this real fear, you know, this like deep fear of like the situation around her, and constantly just protecting and protecting and protecting is, I think, what motherhood is really about. It's like Mama Bear, you know, like the ultimate protector as much as you can. And then we just have so much complicated things going on in the world right now, and adding these layers of social media and yada yada, there's no room and there's no need for cutting up of anybody, of any type of mothering, of any type of anything. But of course, if there's something that endangers a child, that's not okay. That's not like, you know, there's a line. But to cut up the style of like bassinet you have, unless it's a safety thing, or like the, you know, the type of clothes your kid's wearing, this constant comparison in every way, it's just like this craziness that can't keep happening.
Well, and that was like we're coming back around to the social media stuff, but like I've been on both ends of it, where like I've caught myself having a thought about something that another mom posted, and I'm like, why did I just have that thought? Like, am I insecure about doing that? Or I've been on the end of like somebody sending me a message and saying like, you make me feel bad because you always have it together. And I'm like, you know, neither one of those things is true. Like, I'm not doing the wrong or right thing. I'm just trying to share all of the things that I do. So I think that was another big push of like being more honest all the time on both sides, because I've been the mom that felt envious of someone. I've been the mom that judged somebody else, what somebody else is doing. And I've been the mom that's been judged and had that happen. So it's like, as long as everybody just shared their, like, real thoughts and not just the good stuff, not just the bad stuff, like, I think we all would see that we're just doing the same thing.
Oh, 100%. That's the common theme of every time I talk to somebody. I'm like, yeah, cutting hair, cutting thousands of men's hair, really, and doing all these weddings and even cutting all these women's heads, at the end of the day, you just realize everybody is doing the same thing. And we have, like, three ways to tick, I always say. So it's, like, that takes away the fear or the unease about all of it, too. It's, like, I'm not worried about Joe Schmo or Kathy or whoever over there being, like, worried with me. I'm, like, get your own, you know, whatever, focus on you. And if you don't, it's all good. You realize, I think, once you leap and you're just like, screw it, this is me, and I'm like open and honest about it. You just it has to sit right with you at the end of the day. I've always battled with wanting to be on social media because it felt weird to me, because I would overshare a ton and then I'd be like, now I'm sharing nothing and I'm deleting everything because I don't want to be on it. I've deleted my Instagram, I don't know how many freaking times, but, you know, it has to sit right with you no matter what it is. So that's really what matters at the end of the day, and how you can have impact on kids and on the people that are going to digest your information. So it's cool. Like, I'm totally honest with me, with my social media. I've followed people that they are doing nothing wrong with posting what they want to post. They can post whatever they want. But what I've taken from them has been a sense of jealousy or envy for, the way that they look all together, the way they look in their Shein outfits or whatever that thing's called. And it's made me feel bad about me, but that's my doing. That's not their doing, you know? It's like I have to edit my use of social media to be something that serves me. And that's what I think we all get to do, is be very conscious about those algorithms and about what we're digesting, because we don't have control entirely at the end of the day. But we can at least really fill our feeds with stuff that actually feeds us, like, good stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But that's the beauty and the pain of this social world that we live in. But right now, I think it's wonderful for moms, and coming just for the whole mom pandemic in general. Like, rely on your social media, because I think it's great. You get ideas. I'll see a project that somebody did, and it's not copying. It's just, like, admiring, and like, I want to do that with my kids. You gave your kids that wonderful project, and now I want to give that to my kids. Or,
yeah,
oh, they, you know, they read this book, that was like a great book, you know, influencing each other. People talk about influencers, like, use your social media right now for positive influence from other moms.
Yeah, and not like, it doesn't have to be picture perfect wrapped in a bow with high whites and contrast and, you know, all this. It can be real life, just. And that translates on social media, I think. When a caption isn't perfectly done, it feels that way. It's perfect because it's real, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Definitely. And let's just briefly, because if you didn't think three young kids quarantined at home was a lot of work, then you might as well throw in a full home renovation in there. Which,
why not?
Is like my... I'm excited to watch you guys, because I'm an HGTV like addict, and I love DIY Network, and I love the thoughts of renovation. I come from a long line of handy people, but
okay,
there's something about, you know, watching HGTV, it's half hour, a whole house is done. Really seeing it in real life and seeing the major construction you guys have going on is very sobering, is the word.
Sobering is a great word for it. Humbling, feeling like an idiot.
No, it'll still be worth
We obviously were inspired by, you know, we're like, our generation's like the Chip and Joanna Gaines generation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they can do anything, they can make anything beautiful, mm-hmm, except they don't tell you how long it takes to do that and how much it costs.
Yeah.
So, it's been crazy. A couple weeks, it'll be a year since we bought our house, and we, well, Brand, like, to save money, we've just been doing most of it ourselves. Brandon and my dad and his dad demoed the whole thing. I mean, and like, demo, you think is just like slamming hammers at a wall, right? It's crazy. It's pulling out every single nail from the floor. Like,
yeah,
it's a wild journey. It took 8 months to demo.
Their house is down to cinder blocks and studs, and they're reframing everything. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, there's nothing in there.
Nothing.
Yeah.
We pulled everything out. I mean, every electrical wire, there was absolutely nothing in it. And so we added on two dormers on the second floor to make it four bedrooms and two bathrooms upstairs. And, we reframed the downstairs to make it a little more livable for our family. Like, we added a playroom and a full bathroom down there. And right now we're kind of stuck with this pandemic, because a lot of construction people aren't working, and we're finally at the point where we're doing things that are hiring out.
Mm.
So now we're stuck again, because really our original move-in date the first time was the first of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, you know, the end of March, and now we were always saying maybe 4th of July, but now we're saying maybe the 1st of next year.
Yeah.
So, well, if that's the case, it'll be 2.5 years of a whole process.
It's all in its perfect timing, even though it might not feel it, but I just had a thought,
for sure.
A thought while you were saying that, too. What's kind of exciting and cool, like, I'm obsessed with you guys doing the YouTube, so I can watch for sure, but what I think is definitely really neat is the fact that one day your kids will be, like, our age, and they'll be able to watch their parents through this whole quarantine and situation go to YouTube and start to document the building of the home that they grew up in. I mean,
yeah,
that's really cool.
Talk about that.
That's
so
cool.
And also just that they get to, like, Brandon brings Ryder a lot to help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just pulling some nails and, like, little stuff. But we're hoping that he might remember some of this.
Yeah, I would think.
You know, like, yeah. I hope maybe he will. I've tried to take just so many pictures, especially with them in the house. Like, you know, pictures of them standing where their room is going to be. And, like, I want them to be able to see, I mean, one, to teach them a lesson, too, that, like, these nice things that you now have, your own room and, you know, a nice backyard, like, this did not come easy.
Right.
You don't just get these things handed to you.
Right.
And I come, you know, from a great family. I was totally spoiled, but, like, that doesn't mean that things just happen for you. You have to work for them. I mean, Brandon works all the time. I'm so lucky that he is so dedicated to our family that he, you know, would do this. I mean, we don't know a lot of other guys in their 20s who are just, you know, supporting a wife and three kids and building a house.
Right.
And he's just at work all the time. But that level of dedication, I hope that he passes on to Ryder, because I hope to see him as that man one day, you know?
Yeah, and there's, honestly, I think having hardworking parents is the best thing you can gift to your kids. Hardworking parents that support each other, I can't imagine something better, you know?
No, I mean, I hope that everything that's good about Brandon, I see in Ryder, and, you know, obviously in the girls too, but Ryder just being his only son, like, he really tries to encourage him, and mm-hmm. I hope that Ryder turns, you know, into Brandon, because
mm-hmm.
we fight all the time and he gets on my last damn nerve, but mm-hmm. like he is top grade.
Yeah.
You can't do any better.
One of my favorite, you know, I'm single for life, right? No, I'm kidding. But that one of my favorite quotes or whatever, I'm going to butcher it, but I remember reading something. It's like, you're not picking your future husband. You're picking the future father of your children, which is
such a good one.
Yeah. Really, really good one. Cool.
And so true.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know when I married Brandon. I mean, we got married so young. Like, he was a great man, but he wasn't this man yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think having kids and also just, you know, growing as a person, which everybody does. I mean, if I had even known then what I know now, I would have married him even sooner, you know?
Oh, yeah. You're both, like, I feel like it's resilience, you know? Like, having kids and doing all this stuff is, like, that's a challenging thing. So, like, having resilience and stepping up to the plate, both of you as a young married couple, young married children, yeah. Young married parents of children, you're both, like,
yeah.
Strong individuals for that, for sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. Well, honestly, it's been fun for me. So tell them where they can find you on Instagram and on social.
Okay, so my Instagram is at smallspacemama. It's MOMMA. Mm-hmm. And in my bio, there's a link to our first YouTube video. I think that my YouTube handle is just Allison Lang, mm-hmm. but we don't even come up when you type that in, so we're figuring YouTube out.
But I love it.
We are gonna do next week. We're gonna do a marriage video.
Yeah,
because that's, like, the biggest thing I feel like people ask us, because we don't have a lot of married friends yet.
Yeah, do, like, I would listen for sure, even as a single human who's not that far behind you in age. Like,
and, yeah, I mean, we're pretty honest. Like,
right.
I mean. Because he's a great guy and, like, whatever, but we have, trust me, we have our problems, we have our issues, and especially with parenting, like, it's not perfect.
Nothing is.
No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we're gonna hopefully do a video every week. We're gonna try. We gotta figure YouTube out. We ordered some lights and a microphone, so,
ooh,
you know.
Fun!
Okay. We'll
so fun! That's awesome. All right, I won't keep you from all your people any longer. Thank you, girl, for coming on. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for doing this. I love it. I think it's awesome.
Awesome.
You're the perfect person to do it.
Ugh, I'm humbled and honored. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I will talk to you soon, okay?
All right, bye.
Bye.